Alrighty then, here we go. It is. No. No, you got to use that. You still have to use the mic. Oh, you got the wrong mic. You still have to use this mic. Yeah, you still have to use that mic. You should be able to hear. You can't hear anything?
No, I can hear.
Well, that's, you got to put the mic on. First day. No, not when we use this mixer. Never. We've never had that with this mixer. That will work if we don't use the mixer. And we can't use the if we don't use the mixer, we can't use the phone. We're having Broadcasting 101 here, if you'd like to listen in on MSONewsSports.com.
The next crack you hear is going to be me.
Well, we can't hear you. Yes, you can. The same way I do. Put the mic up and put your headset on.
Killing me.
There you go.
Oh, you're killing me. This is way too complicated.
OMG, we are back. Hello.
Gary, help me.
This is North Shore Sports Night, I think, on a Monday night. We've only been doing this for 11 years, Coach. Or 10 years. Whatever. 10 years. Yeah, 11 years.
I was telling one of my former students tonight.
What were you telling one of your former students?
You know, yes, well, you know, she lives in the next street over, and she's one of my, again, she graduates. Her and her husband were walking their baby, and she said, so we're heading. And I told her, I said, I'm going to Gloucester at do the Monday night sports show with Rick Moore. Oh, Mr. Moore.
Mr. Moore. So who is this now, Mr. Moore?
Francesca. Oh, God. She pals all.
Okay, well, you'll think of it. Oh, that's cool. Yep. Very good. All right. Anyway, so we're trying to get ready for football. Of course, now I don't have my football schedule, which I'll have to dig out during a break and maybe while Gary's on. But we're getting ready for football, so we will have a couple of football coaches on tonight. It's not the one I wanted, but it'll do for now. And thank you. Gary Larrabee will start us off, as he usually does here on Monday nights. And Gary, pretty much from, I don't know what, March through October, talking golf, and he has his golf column in the Salem News on Friday evenings, or Fridays rather. He's with us on Monday evenings, and I can't imagine anybody more knowledgeable about golf at any level than Gary is. And he will talk with us about all things golf, including local stuff, regional stuff, and stuff on the national and international scene, if that's what's out there. We'll also talk with possibly or probably Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times Sports Editor. But we were supposed to do some Intertown Twilight League talk about the playoffs. But nobody's available in this particular time slot right now, and the playoffs are underway. Is it a best of five for the championship?
Yes.
Best of five, and now is it the finals this weekend? I think it is.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe it started off one apiece with Manchester Essex versus Rowley. And I believe they've each won a game. And we will talk to our football coaches. The Hamilton Wenham football coach is a familiar name, although not at Hamilton Wenham. And we'll also check in with the brand new Newburyport High School football coach. I believe he's got some clinics going on up there. And both schools get underway, I believe, on Friday, if I'm correct. They start early this year. They will not be having double sessions, I think. Well, maybe that's the Northeastern Conference. We'll check. Anyway, we'll have the Newburyport coach, Mike Levine, and the Hamilton Wenham coach, Jim Pugh, on during this hour. And we'll talk some other stuff.
That sounds a little
familiar?
Familiar, but incorrect.
I know.
You know?
I know. Well,
But I'm sure Jim is very excited. I know I'm sure the coaching community is very excited to have Jim back in the fold. And I'm sure some of those guys that are very happy to have him back in the fold are going, oh, here we go again.
Oh, I know. Yep. I'd like to remind everyone, too, to check out the news on our website. Check a couple of news stories. We did have the story on the Gloucester Fire today. That's posted with an update from the Gloucester Fire Department. Got to talk to a lot of the officials on scene. I want to thank the police officers who helped me out in particular, and I can't think of the first gentleman's name. I don't know him, but Sergeant Sandy McDonald also helping out. And then Gloucester Fire Captain Phil Harvey was in charge at the scene of the fire on Quarry Street up in the Lanesville area, and it is a junkyard, as a matter of fact, up in the woods that has, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 junk cars up there, but at least a dozen were on fire at once, and the Gloucester Fire Department taking care of that. We've got the story, we've got the interview up there, as well as some other stuff, and of course Bill Newell and I will do our daily news and sportscast every single day here on MSO, and You can go up to, if you took a look at the top left-hand corner of the website or Pages drop-down menu, you'll see Radio 24/7 tag, or tab rather, and you can click on that. So, Coach, before we get to Gary Larrabee, Gary coming up in a couple of minutes, what's at the top of your sports calendar?
Well, the Red Sox survived another day against in the makeup game against Cleveland, 3-2. Craig Kimbrell continues to be kind of an enigma to me. He's either very, very good or he's god-awful.
And one pitch, Kimbrell?
One pitch. God, he threw almost 30 pitches to get out of the
but
inning.
I'm talking about these one. That's his repertoire.
Yeah, basically. And because
and he's no Dick Raddatz.
And right now, because he's having trouble locating the fastball, he's having to go to the breaking ball, and he's having trouble putting that in play, and he's not hitting spots, and he's putting men on base. And
so I heard the Boston, and I won't get into it again too much, but the guys, the big boys in Boston, dissing, trashing Xander Bogaerts today.
I don't know how he
overrated, trade him. You know, he's only got 29 RBIs. What's he doing in the number two hole or three hole, whatever it is? You know, average shortstop. Like, jeez, here we go again.
You know, from the two guys who never spent an inning on a field playing against anybody,
or 2 minutes in a locker room talking face to face to these guys.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these young, and Bogaerts and Betts and these guys and Bradley, they're all among them. The younger players, you know, and because they have tended to play abbreviated seasons for 4, 5, 6, well, all the way through their careers up until they get into the major leagues. You know, when you start playing all the time regularly, it wears and tears. And no matter who you are, and especially baseball players, because it's such a daily grind, you're playing, you know, sometimes, you know, 2 weeks without a break. You get a little out of kilter. The averages have certainly dropped a little bit, but Bogaerts' defense hasn't flagged.
One of the guys made
a spectacular play in the eighth inning to end the inning. He dove into the hole, full out stretch, stopped the ball going to the outfield, came up, fired a one bounce that Shaw snapped out of the dirt.
One of the guys,
fabulous play.
One of the announcers, and I can't even call him sports journalist, but one of them was talking about Mookie Betts. He has what, 26 home runs.
Yeah.
But how many walk-off home runs does he have? He just hasn't shown in the clutch. And I'm about ready to. I had to change the station, so I just can't listen to this. How many walk-offs does he? He's 22, 23 years old.
Yeah, and he's got 26 home runs. He's
leadoff hitter with 26 home runs.
He's two behind. He's two behind. But now he's hitting fourth.
Dear God.
Hitting fourth.
Yeah.
They had Dustin Pedroia. They had Bogaerts. They had Ortiz, and then little Betts hitting fourth.
Well, they've had Pedroia in there before.
Today.
So.
You know, and.
But how can you complain about this kid?
You know, Ortiz had a home run. Bradley had a home run today. Hopefully his swing is coming back. They'll be fine.
Before Nitwit Radio, Tim, did we ever, as sports fans, I mean, I can remember following sports starting at around age 10. Avid. I mean, back in those days, you had 8 teams in each league. We had the baseball cards. You knew the lineup of every single team. You knew batting order of every single team. Yeah. Right? Am I right? We knew them all. We knew every single player. And we even knew the utility players, and we called them utility players. But did we ever, in all the years prior to Nitwit Radio, did sports fans or sports writers ever pick nits like they do now? Every single pitch, every single play. Do they not realize that it's sports, Tim? And in sports, you're going to fail sometimes?
Well, especially
everybody's going to fail sometimes.
You know, especially in a sport where if you're successful 30% of the time, you're considered
a great hitter. Yeah.
A great hitter. Yeah. Well, geez, you didn't hit 300. Wait a minute. Now, that means he failed 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous. You know, by the way we measure it. If you were successful 30% of the time, as a quarterback throwing the ball, you'd have like a 6-week career. You know, same thing in a goalie. If you're a goalie,
and it is, you know, it's hard to hit a baseball.
Hardest thing to do in sports.
It is hard. Okay, that's our rant. We'll be back with Gary Larrabee in just a minute.
Come and take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Monday nights at 7, it's North Shore Sports Night, the North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we have made connections and want to say once again hello to Gary Larrabee. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Tim.
We're good.
Hi, bud.
We're good. I don't know. Where do we start this week, Gary? Start with Friday night's story in the Salem News. You want to start with the pros, the local? Help us out here.
Let's start with the U.S. Senior Open that was extended to a fifth day out in Columbus, Ohio, because of lots of rain. And as you guys may have seen, we didn't exactly get a Mr. Personality for the winner about an hour or so ago, but it's a good story, and we now look forward to Gene Sowers, of all people, being our defending champion next June 26th to July 2nd when the 38th U.S. Senior Open is contested at Salem Country Club.
Well, Gary, following up on that conversation last week when I asked about, you know, the availability of tickets, had dinner with a couple of friends on Saturday night, and they're both avid golfers. One of them who was the recipient of your table book that he has given to me now, and if I could meet with you sometime, would you be so kind as to autograph it for him?
Yeah, the fee's gone up, as you know, up to $150,000 for signing.
Well, that'll just be his Christmas present, you know, forever and a day.
Yeah, that's chump change for Tim.
But if I could give you a call, maybe we could set up some time to meet. He's had the book for a number of years, and I told him that, you know, we were talking about the Open, and he says, oh, I'm working it. And my other buddy says, oh, I'm working it too. So they're going to put my name in as a volunteer as well.
Great. You'll have a great time. No, I'll be happy to sign it whenever we can connect, but that'll be fun. But Gene Sowers is the winner today at 277, Billy Mayfair 278. Then we had some guys with some panache, with some personality who didn't quite make it. Miguel Angel Jimenez, whose stretching routine on the practice tee is worth the price of admission. he didn't quite make it, but I was certainly hoping one of these international guys would win because they have much more personality than almost any American senior tour player these days. I'm talking about people like Colin Montgomery, even Bernard Langer. Montgomery finished six shots back, so we'll have to live with Gene Sowers. He'll be a great defending champion. I'm sure he's an American, and he won it in admirable fashion, courageous fashion, by one shot, a great 69 the last day, and he's got a pretty nice comeback story of his own, so we'll look forward to having Gene Sowers with us on Media Day next year, probably sometime in May, and we will look forward to that. The countdown now, guys, officially begins.
All right, and we're going to have some microphones there, Gary. Who was the guy, who was the golfer? Was it Chichi Rodriguez who used to take the club and like put a sword into his hilt? Was that the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, my father would fall when they were on the tour of Come to Ferncroft. My father always followed him.
Rodriguez?
He just loved to follow Chichi.
He was fun.
Because, Gary, as you said, he has such a personality, and, you know, and he connected with the crowd, and then just the flair that he played with.
Yeah, we don't have too many of those guys, anyone like Chichi out there on the senior tour, the champions tour, but We're looking forward to it, and it'll be a good field, and lots of opportunities for volunteering, for sponsors, for purchasing tickets, all kinds of combinations. So check out the website, 2017, that's 2017USSeniorOpen.com, and we're going to start making a lot of noise and selling tickets and bringing in sponsors. It'll be a fantastic week next June 26th to July 2nd.
Sounds good. All right, you're going to bring us back now to Massachusetts?
Yeah, let's do that. I think the big story is still around here, I think, since I went by last weekend, is the fact that Bill Flynn, who's been deceased for almost 5 years, truly an icon in North Shore and Greater Boston, Massachusetts, New England golf, has been named the National PGA recipient for 2016 of the Deacon Palmer Award, which, of course, is named for Arnold Palmer's late father, who overcame some physical disabilities to become an outstanding club professional. He was a pretty good teacher, bringing his son up, Arnold, and he ran a known golf course in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And Bill, of course, like Deacon Palmer, overcame an extraordinary disability when he was born, with a paralyzed right arm and limited his ability to do a lot of things a kid would like to do athletically, but he turned to golf and became an extraordinary member of the golf community. New England PGA, Massachusetts champion, national vice president of the PGA, president of the New England PGA, two-time New England PGA Pro of the Year, entrepreneur. You know, he bought Lakeview and he developed Far Corner from an 18-hole to a 27-hole golf course, and he built Wyndham. Promoted junior golf like no one I've ever seen, and on behalf of the Mass Golf Association, in conjunction with the Mass Golf Association, really did a tremendous job saving, if you will, Mount Hood and Melrose, George Wright and Franklin Park golf courses in Boston.
You know, Gary, when you mentioned it last week that you were going to have the story about someone who's going to receive a very prestigious award, two names came into my head. One, of course, was Bill Flynn. The other was Paul Backhouse, who, again, was probably, those two were probably the most well-known golfers amongst, you know, a slew of very good golfers from this region. But those two names, to me, have just always stood out.
Yes, and Paul is just turned 75, and he's about to wrap up his golf career after 50 years in the game, more than 50 years in the game, as the head pro at Woburn Country Club. Time to slow down and take it easy. Paul's, you know, been a tournament champion for the New England PGA. He's been a great champion, a great personality, and everyone's friend. And that would have been a good second choice, Tim. I think the only disability, though, Paul probably had over the years playing golf was maybe a little too much of a punch. You can't call that a disability. Well, he was so friendly out in the golf course. He loved to talk to people when he was playing in a tournament. And he was probably too affable and too congenial. But that's still a pretty good trait to have as you wind down your career as a club professional.
Oh, exactly. And you know, and I remember as a youngster, his was the name that was always in the lid item with the local golf tournaments and the, you know, the state and the regional tournaments. It was Paul Backhouse. You didn't know a lot about the golf game, but you just knew the name Paul Backhouse, and you associated it with regional golf.
Indeed. And it's just great to see his career wrapping up in a very positive note. And We're glad he's been a part of our golf world for so long. One thing I'm doing, guys, as we talk, I had forgotten to take a peek. But of course, as a reminder, Topsfield's Charlie May is playing in the first round of a 36-hole qualifying out at the U.S. Amateur out of Oakland Hills outside Detroit. And I'm looking for his first round score as they flip through the summary. He birdied his very first hole this afternoon. He was tied for 17th place after he played one hole. But I'm continuing to look for his name as we chat. You know, Charlie May from Topsfield from Elon College from Masconomet, plays at a Ferncroft. And I'm looking for his name, guys, as we speak. I'm a little bit nervous. I still don't see it.
You'll find it. Take your time.
There's 312 players in the field. The low 64 score was after tomorrow. Advanced to match play on Wednesday. That's when the action really gets hot and bothered. Charlie got off to a great start. Here he is, tied for 189th place. He shot 74, which isn't a bad score, guys. But the numbers that these guys, all these amateurs are playing such great golf these days. 74, which is a darn good score for most of us anytime, puts him 189th as they wrap up the first round out there at Oakland Hills.
All right, Gary, you got stuff in mind for Friday already for the Salem News?
Yes, we're going to be talking. We're going to be writing about a much beloved local golf course, a nine-hole golf course that whose future is changing at the end of the season. And you probably can figure out which golf course that is. But
I do.
Wonderful part of North Shore golf for like over 8 years. But things are winding down for that course. We'll write about that in this weekend's column.
Sounds good.
So in other words, I need to get the last few rounds in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, you better before the place goes under the bulldozer.
Okay.
All right, Gary, we'll hope to talk to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks Gary. Gary. Take care. That's if you put take care in Gary, you get take care.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you know what? I'm not even sure about next week because it's a vacation week, so I'm not sure.
I will not be available. I'm
not sure I will either. So we'll see what goes on. At any rate, I finally have the correct code up on the website, so you can go ahead and click on live now and catch us live. You can also always catch us live again. Go up to pages and where it says. MSO Radio Live, go ahead and click on that. It's there all the time. You don't have to wait for the code to be put on the front page and click on that. But anyway, there we go. Next up, we'll talk with the Hamilton Wenham football coach here on MSO News Sports as we get ready for the fall. Yes, the fall football season, if you can believe that. So stay with us, please. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com, and that's how you can get a hold of us by email, MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back, and very pleased to bring on the Hamilton Wenham High School football coach, and that's not easy for me to say. It does not roll off the tongue. Jim Pugh. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing okay, and Bill Newell talked with you earlier this summer about the job, and it's been what, a little bit more than a month now?
It's been like 6 weeks.
Okay.
Flying along.
All right, well, fill us in, Coach. What's the status of the team, your coaching staff, and so on? How are things going?
Things are going great. I mean, the kids are great. And, that I knew before I applied for the job, that working in Hamilton Wenham was going to be, a pleasure. It's a great tradition, tremendous kids, great community and a great school system. So I knew that we were gonna they were gonna be kids you really wanted to work with, and they haven't been disappointed. So I've met a lot of the parents, I've met the kids. We've been involved in some of the 7-on-7s on the North Shore, and some talented kids. So I'm excited. We have our staff put together, and we kept. Ed Melanson, who's been, at St. Mary's, he's been at North Reading, he's been around, and he coached his first year last year with Coach Morency at Hamilton Wenham, and I mean, everyone that I've talked to, I knew Ed, but I wasn't, I wasn't a friend. And everyone I've talked to, just great guy, great coach, very knowledgeable, and the kids liked him, which is the most important thing. Mm. And so he's going to be working with us. Joe Coolis, who we worked together for 16 years. He will be the defensive coordinator, and Bill Peach, who, was an outstanding football player and at UNH in, he actually played with my buddy Gavin Monagle, the new head coach at Bascode last year. And, Bill is great with the kids, ran the summer lifting program, has been involved with youth sports, and, it's great that we're able to get him to come and coach. So our staff is ready. The kids are ready. Now it's time to get started. And we open on Friday with everyone else with the helmets and shoulder helmets and shorts. So it's exciting.
Coach, it certainly can be said that your reputation precedes you as you went into this job, and the kids just had to be truly elated to have someone with your experience, your stature, your success, and your reputation as a football coach come on board and take on the mantle of head coach. That certainly has to be a real buoy to their confidence, and certainly I can see it showing on the field this year.
Well, I'd like to think that might be true, but I know better. for my first coaching job. My first year at Masconomet, and I have a brother who I've mentioned to you before, and coached for 40 years at Holy Cross High School in Flushing, Queens. And my first year as a head coach, I was saying to our assistants, "Hey, it's great. My brother Tom's going to come up. He'll be up in the booth, and he'll help us out." And their response was, "Unless he can play guard." So the coaching, I think that we have a good staff and knowledgeable people, and now it's just going to be, can we teach the kids and get them to believe in our system and us to believe in theirs and make a good match. But I've been, like I said, very impressed with their work ethic and their athletic ability. We'll see. We're like most smaller schools, and actually many, many, bigger schools. I know, talking with some of the North Shore coaches, doesn't matter if you're in the, what division you're in. We're all looking for linemen. I mean, they don't just grow on trees. So we have some kids, and that's going to be our task, is to get some tough linemen that will get the job done.
So is your brother
skilled people? Hamilton Wenham has always had, whether it's Trevor Lyons or last year they had Hunter Skilo, I think, and Cam Beach, that each had 44 receptions. Cam is back. We have four quarterbacks in the program, all underclassmen that are all have some great skills. I mean, so, there's a lot to be positive about. So,
Coach,
we're excited.
What's different about this year now? I know that you guys are opening a little early, and the preseason is a little bit different for high school. So what's the plan on Friday and for your preseason?
Well, I'm involved with the Mass High School Football Coaches Association, and this actually this new schedule came down last year, and they gave it to us in June, and the coaches were it changed some of the dynamics of how we were going to practice, and those schedules are made by football coaches a couple of months or a year in advance, not a year but 8 or 9 months in advance. So the bottom line was we had to they gave us another year, and now it's really just the medical committee of the Mass High School football coaches. Basically, they're saying we want to limit the amount of contact, and we'll give you more days, but you got to go slower and have, you know, you're not going to go 3 days with no equipment or just helmets, and then right to tackling and full practice. So they've given us some extra days, and you know, I'm not one of those guys that thinks that, you know, this is going to screw us up. I think that, you know, it just makes sense to limit the amount of contact. If you do, you're going to have fewer concussions. And, I've run clinics for youth teams for years, and, you know, basically we're telling the youth coaches the same thing is, you know, you don't have to practice. You don't have to be tackling every day, and you certainly don't. You know, we don't bring guys down in practice. You know, we you know, it's a thud, and you know, you can work on technique and all, but you don't have to. You don't have to be banging each other and knocking people to the ground. And you just look at some of the Dartmouth. You know, Dartmouth had their spring football game with just helmets. You know, it's a different era. Things have changed, but I think it's just for the safety of the kids.
Coach, final question for me tonight. When you come to a team as a new coach, and the team has had a former coach there for a while, is there more teaching required on your part? Are there more things that you have to teach the kids that maybe once you've had the program for a while, they've got it? Or basically, is teaching football the same?
I think Andrew's a great coach, and that's, so does Beverly, and that's why he's over there. I think that, you know, over the years, if you watch some film, some years people would say, wow, those coaches did a great job. And other times you'd watch, it's like, did anyone do any teaching out there or what? So, I think we're all teaching. We're all teaching the same skills. We're all, you know, have the same kind of practice schedule. And, I don't think the ship was, you know, was in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't go by wins and losses. You know, I mean, I think I've said to you before, I mean, I know that if you have a superstar and he's running plays for you, like at Hamilton Wenham when they had Trevor Lyons, I'm sure Andrew was a much better coach. I know when we had Chris Winter and Evan Bunker at Masco, I was a much better offensive coach. you know, those kids just make plays. The bottom line is we do have to prepare the kids, and we will. But, you know, if you have great kids that make great plays, you look a lot better. I think Belichick is a great coach, but if he had Jimmy Garoppolo for the last 15 years, I don't know if he would have had four Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tom Brady is unbelievable. So, you know, you got to have players, and that's not to let us off the hook. I mean, we got to do a good job of coaching and teaching kids, and that's why we do it.
Absolutely.
The fun is really the practices and going out there in the off season, getting the kids, you know, with the work ethic, to be in the weight room, run the 7-on-7s, do the lineman challenges stuff, and then on Saturday they go out and perform. But it's a combination. You got to have some skilled players. You got to have good preparation. And Hamilton Wenham was always one of the, you know, like a very well prepared team. Always had great athletes. I'm just excited, and great kids.
Great
staff over there. I've been very happy with Coach Genualdo, the AD.
Mm-hmm.
Craig is a great guy and very supportive and, you know, a lot of football background. So,
absolutely.
He's talked to and he's very supportive of the football program and me, and so I'm very excited.
Tim, final questions for Coach?
Coach, what would you see would be the biggest challenge this year?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is, you know, people say, well, you know, some of the biggest schools don't have this. Let me tell you, I don't care what size you are, you always have that. Finding, you know, an offensive and defensive line is a challenge, and it will be a challenge. Kids have to sacrifice in high school ball, especially in smaller schools, because you might be the best tight end, fullback in the program. And I've had kids over the years that have the best hands on the team, but they have to, you know, put the hand on the ground every play in the dirt and be a tackle or a guard because that's what the team
needs. Good point.
So that will be a big challenge. And then getting kids to buy into our system, you know, when the going gets tough. I mean, it's like, it's easy to be, on top of everything when, you know, you're starting out. As I always say to the kids, right now we're the 2016 undefeated Hamilton Wenham Generals.
There you go. Well, Coach, you know we're going to be badgering you during the season, so I can't wait for this to get started, and I know it's going to be fun for you guys.
It will be, and I love every minute of it, and I enjoy talking with you guys, and you guys do a great job for high school for the North Shore.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. We're glad you're back in the conference. All right, we'll talk to you later, Jim, and stay cool.
Okay.
Great. Good night, Coach.
That is Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh, formerly of Masconomen, of course, and it's funny, he is so laid back, you know, but put him out there in the field, and it's like, oh my goodness gracious, it's great. And you knew, I didn't know he was going to be back as a head coach in high school on the North Shore, but I knew he'd be coaching somewhere this year.
Yeah, well, it's in your blood. You're always, even when you're away from it, you're into it. You're going to games. You're dissecting the games. You know, you're in the stands, and you're talking to people, and they're asking you questions, and your mind is still going in that coaching mode, in that game mode, you know, looking at a scenario and what would you call, what would you do, how would you defense a particular team, and those things are still going through your mind. You know, I'm back in the coach to freshman baseball this year after 12 years, but you know, I've constantly been watching and watching the kids, and when working at the baseball clinic in Beverly, teaching a game and going over stuff with kids. It just never leaves your system.
All right, let's check the new system. We're going to call Newburyport football coach Mike Levine in just a second and see what's going on up there. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. That's Tim Kearns, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, and, of course, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We'll be right back. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883. Okay, we are back live, and joining us now is Newburyport High School football coach Mike Levine. And Coach, welcome to MSO here live with Tim Kearns and Rick Moore. I know you talked with Bill Newell earlier this summer, and again, congratulations on getting the Newburyport job. And maybe you could refresh our listeners a little bit as to how you got where you are, a little bit of your background.
Sure. I'm originally from the East Coast. I played for Williams College, class of 94. I played for the great Dick Farley. Had some success there as a player. I actually went a little different route. I went to law school at University of Virginia and became an attorney. moved to Texas in 1999 as a lawyer and did that for about 7 or 8 years. But when coaching's in your blood, it's hard to get it out. And so around 2006, I got back into coaching in Houston, and I've been coaching at the high school level all in a few different stops all across the Houston, Texas area for about the last 10 or 11 years.
Okay, I actually went to high school in Killeen, my first 3 years of high school, yep. And football down there was a little bit different as a kid, I'll tell you, than it was up here.
It's a lot different. It's a lot different, and it's an adjustment, without a doubt, for me as a coach. You just have different expectations out here, and so I've got to come accustomed to that. Of course, I played at a small high school in New Jersey, mm-hmm. where most of us were two-way players. So, I understand the challenges of small school football as well.
Well, Mike, you're into a program that has got a great tradition on the North Shore and in Eastern Massachusetts. It's a fantastic community. It's got a great sports reputation as well. And by now, a couple of months in, maybe tell me a little bit about your experience as the new coach there so far. I know that, you haven't, you get your team coming in on Friday, but what's happened so far that has helped you get acclimated to the area?
Yeah, well, we've got one of the nicest, if not the nicest, brand new field in the North Shore area at Newburyport. It was supposed to be ready for last season. It wound up not being ready till the last game of the year, so we played exactly one real game there, which was our dramatic Thanksgiving win last year in Coach Gaudiano's last game as the head coach against Amesbury. So we've got a beautiful, beautiful facility. We also played 7-on-7 football for the first time in school history this summer. I put together a team, and I had some volunteer coaches running that. So our kids have been working out. We've got a real good strength and conditioning program that is run at the high school, open to anyone. And a lot of our team members have been there working hard, hitting weights all summer. And then it's funny, we catch up tonight. We started for the first time ever a Newburyport athletics orientation camp this morning,
mm-hmm.
For incoming 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. And we didn't do pre-registration, so it was a little bit, nerve-wracking. I didn't know if I'd have 3 or 4 kids showed up. Well, I counted about 85 or 90 Yeah.
All right.
The interesting thing is, as a staff, you're trying to plan, okay, what drills do we do if 5 kids show up? What do we do if 50 kids show up?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good problem to have. It really is it's definitely a community that loves athletics and values its public schools and its public school athletic programs.
Coach, one of the things that I've noticed of late in this area in particular is the number of schools that do that summer conditioning program. I live right behind Beverly High School. 6 o'clock every morning, there's got to be 100-plus kids out on that soccer field from all different sports, going at it 100%. I'm thinking, that explains the quality of Beverly sports across the spectrum. There's guys, there's girls, there's freshmen, there's seniors. Everybody is out there looking to get in condition for their sport.
Absolutely. The same thing's going on at Newburyport, just the same way you described it. It's not by any means football specific. It's all different athletes. It's co-ed. But, I think that it's not as much as you might think. It's not driven by the parents or the coaches as much as you might think it is. It really is these kids. It's a different era of kids. Kids are a little more savvy than we were. They see their favorite athletes. They watch the Nike commercials. They know that the greatest athletes train year-round. And these kids want to do it. I mean, today's camp was a perfect example. And we have a group that does, I think they're called Peak Performance. They do a conditioning camp at our school all summer. And they get great numbers of kids that turn out. And it's important that kids do that for their own health. You don't want to hit the ground running, whether it's football, soccer, whatever, that first week of preseason, having been sitting on your tail for 2 months. You need to, I think, maintain that level of getting your heart rate up there, staying in conditioning, so that when that first week of preseason comes, you're ready to get to work.
And it's by extension, it goes back to what almost all coaches say. I want a multi-sport athlete. I just don't want a kid who plays one sport. I want a kid who plays many sports because, one, he stays in better shape all year round. Two, he constantly works other muscle groups so that he doesn't tend to get injured because he's so exercise-specific, and the muscles that he's training are the ones that are focused on, and the other ones don't develop along the way. But that multi-sport athlete is in much better overall condition.
Amen. You're preaching to the choir, and I think most football coaches would agree with you. I think the problem with year-round one-sport, athletes is not us. It's certainly not football. know, I'm coming from a background in Texas where you've got the weather to play outdoors year-round. So baseball is a fall sport and a winter sport and a spring sport and a summer sport. And I do think some of those, everybody having Tommy John surgery by age 20, I think some of that has to do with the fact that in the southern part of our country, baseball's a 12-month season. And I know up here it's hockey or it's basketball and all that stuff where you can play one sport year-round. But I think to a man, at least football coaches would tell you, I'd rather coach a multi-sport athlete. You probably saw the statistic. I think it was the Denver Broncos I saw after they were Super Bowl champs. Something like 80% of their team were multi-sport athletes, and about two-thirds of them had been involved with track and field in high school. And we had, when I worked at Stratford High School in Houston, we had Andrew Luck, who, you know, most of the world has heard of now. When Andrew was in high school, he played basketball, including his senior year. So senior year winter, by now Andrew had accepted a scholarship to Stanford, and I'm sure there were people who said, well, you might get injured, and he said, you know, paraphrasing, but he said, I'm going to be a kid, and I love basketball, and I'm going to go hoop it up. It's fall season is over, basketball season's here, and I'm going to go be the best. And by the way, he was the best dart power forward in that league. but, you know,
surprise.
I like to tell kids, relax on the specialization. If Andrew Luck can play basketball his senior year in high school, then all of us can be multi-sport athletes. Play whatever's in season.
Hey, Coach, how much does a football player have to be a student? In other words, how cerebral is it? Because I know you always hear about quarterback identifying defenses, maybe the center, maybe your linebackers calling out signals. But how much do kids have to be students of the game?
Well, that's definitely something that's changed. You know, my dad talks about the perception going back 50, 60 years of the sort of dumb jock in the 1940s, 1950s. You don't see that anymore, particularly at the highest level. You know, when you meet NFL players, obviously they're physically incredibly gifted, but they really seem to have the trifecta. To me, it is they're physically gifted, but they're also dedicated, they're very hardworking, and they're also intelligent. You just don't see too many guys that can make it to that level without being students of the game. And you're right, it has filtered down to high school more and more. Certainly, if you're bigger, stronger, faster than everyone, that's a huge advantage, but some of us are not those things. And so how do you gain every last advantage that you can gain? You do it by diagnosing defenses. You do it by, you know, so many quarterbacks now are walking up to the line with much more than just the play in the huddle. They're walking up there with two or three or four different options, and you're relying on your center, you're relying on your quarterback to get you into the right play. And we're putting a lot of faith in young people, in 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, who are also, by the way, dealing with a biology test tomorrow or a calculus test tomorrow. I mean, they've got a lot going on in their lives. Hopefully they're involved in civic, you know, charitable organizations as well. But then we're asking them to spend some time watching the video, study huddle. And we see it pretty quickly as coaches. It shows up on the field. Who's got his nose in that video? Who's spending extra time in the playbook and who isn't? Based on the decisions we see them making on the field.
Newburyport football coach Mike Levine is our guest. And, Coach, now you had that clinic today, and you invited the youngsters in, and you got your varsity and JV coming in on Friday. What's the schedule look like for the rest of the week prior to and including Friday?
Well, we're going to run this camp again tomorrow and Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 to 10:30. Tomorrow I'm really going to turn it over to some of my players. It's going to be a neat experience. I hope the young people appreciate it. I know when I was going into 7th and 8th grade, I thought the local, you know, high school captain was about the biggest celebrity there was. but by the same token, it's going to be a chance for my players to grow in leadership skills. I'm going to throw some 17, 18-year-old young men out there. I'm going to ask them to give tours of the building to these young people. I'm going to ask them to talk to these kids. I want them to talk about the importance of staying in public high school at Newburyport. What has that meant to them academically, athletically? What does it mean to them to be a part of the community? And then Wednesday, we've got a real treat. Our legendary coach, Stellan, is going to come talk to the camp. He's going to be my speaker on Wednesday. Obviously, you know, our community knows who that is. Our field is named for him. And he'll be there around 10 o'clock and give our little final address on Wednesday. The thinking behind the camp is sort of to stem the tide. So many private schools are getting their hooks into kids before we even see them. They're getting into them in 7th. And I want a chance for those kids to meet our coaches, for us to get to learn their names, and just to show them what a great program we have, how much we have to offer at Newburyport High School, you know, before those private schools even come calling. And then, as you said, we'll be up there working as a staff Thursday, put the finishing touches on the schedule, and hit the ground running Friday morning with our first, day of preseason. It's funny, you come up or make your football preseason schedule for you now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so heavily regulated,
right,
that you can almost just tell the parents, check the MIAA website. All I have to tell them is what time of day it is. But yeah, we'll get after it Friday and Saturday, and then, day off Sunday, and then we're full into preseason.
Coach, a couple of years ago, Jim Pugh retired from Masconomet football after a long and glorious career. And now as you prepare to take the reins in Newburyport, Jim appears back on the scene again, coaching Hamilton Wenham.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. Coach Pugh has been a huge help to me. In fact, you asked earlier how I wound up at Newburyport. I actually have Coach Pugh really to thank for that. When my parents live in Wayland outside of Boston, and my dad had some minor health issues, and I really started realizing, what's important in life. I want to see my dad is 75. I don't want to be able to just see my folks 1 week a year for however much time I have left. I want to spend more time with my family. My sister lives outside of Boston. And so the first thing I did when I tried to get a job out here is I wrote a letter to the Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Association with a $35 fee and said, I want to be your only Houston area member in the Massachusetts Association. And I said, I'm not going to fill in the blank for high school because Klein Oak wouldn't mean anything to you in Boston, but, in Mass. But can I join? And Coach Pugh, I just read the name. I didn't know, about his legendary run at Masco. It just said treasurer, Jim Pugh. So I called Coach Pugh up. Well, we really struck up a friendship. And before you know it, he was following up on leads for me and telling me about, Coach Gaudiano had this great run, but he's retiring, and Coach Pugh helped make the introduction.
Great, great story.
The new athletic director.
Sounds.
I'm thrilled he's on there at Hamilton Wenham, and I'm glad I don't have to play them this year. Great thing.
Sounds wicked smart on your part. Good job, Coach. Listen, we're going to be ringing your bell a few times during the season, and we're also going to be sending along to the AD. We're going to be sending along to Kevin. A phone number, a hotline phone number that you can call in reports and scores as you feel like it. But we will be calling you from time to time to check in, and hopefully we'll be able to get up there and do a game. I know the local radio station WNBP does your games, so we don't want to intrude, but we're going to try to get up there as often as we can. So we're looking forward to that and wish you nothing but the best.
You've got my number. You guys are always welcome. Talk to me. Talk to any of our players. The best selling point we've got is we've got some great kids. If you ever want to talk with any of our seniors, we got some good leaders. I'd be happy to produce them and let you interview them anytime.
Either Bill or I will be up there face to face for that. You betcha.
Sounds good.
Okay, Coach, thank you. Good luck this week. Take care.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, that is Mike Levine, who is the Newburyport High School football coach, and we will be up there. We want to try to get a little bit more into the Cape Ann League, up into Newburyport, Ipswich, Hamilton, Wenham. Of course, we cover Hamilton, Wenham, Masconomet. But we do want to get up into Newburyport. Well, who else you got up there? Amesbury, back up into Andover. I'd like to get a hold of E.J. Perry, hopefully this year. We didn't go over our schedule, but we've got. We'll do that next week or the week after. We're getting ready. We're going to open up with a 3 or 4 game weekend, first weekend. Doubleheader on Friday night with you and Bill.
Killing me.
And I'll have a game, and then we'll have 3 games on Friday night to open the season, and hopefully one on Saturday, depending on how that Beverly situation is.
Yes, and I'll be going over to Beverly this week and making some inquiries.
Well, I'll tell you, it's exciting, and the contrast, Mike Levine here, your first time, first game in Massachusetts. He's been a coach, what do you say, 9 years, something like that, and but still, obviously, you can tell from the tenor of his voice that he's. To you and me, he's a kid. And then you got Coach Pugh, who's got some mileage on him and has got some
who's
experience.
Who's right there with us.
And Coach Pugh, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they both have that excitement, that fire in the belly, and that wanting to teach and to work with kids. And not just kids, but it's the whole community, Tim.
Yeah, well, it's coaching is not a lifestyle, but it's a way of life for those of us that have been involved in it over a long number of years. And when you step away, you miss it. There's a void, and you always try to find a way to come back and help out, to advise, to contribute to the sport in some particular fashion. And it's so fun. We talked to Coach Pugh tonight. We talked to the Coach Levine, and there's a connection between the two.
How about that? I don't know if Bill, I'm sure Bill knew that, but I didn't. That's pretty cool.
So,
And I would have mentioned that to Coach Pugh earlier. You know, they were going to call.
Yeah, I'm just glad I just happened to think about, you know, mention the fact that Coach Pugh has come back into the league, and now you got your first year, you got to face this legend, you know, who had stepped away and now is back in there, and he's able to really tie it together. And again, that shows, you know, Jim Pugh at his best. He could have sent that back saying.
Just ignore it.
Saying,
sure.
No, sorry, you have to be a coach in Massachusetts in order to be part of the association. No, and he welcomed him. You know, he kept in touch with him. You know, he helped him line up the job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he facilitated the opportunity for Mike to go in and tell people what he could do.
What's the update on Gronk? You hear anything?
I haven't heard or seen anything. He walked off the field with one of the staff.
This is
so
not
probably just a minor little ding. And again, you know, these practices. You know what, Gronk? You need Gronk for game one to game 16 and beyond. You know he's in shape. You know he's ready. You know what he can do. To put him out there, the other guys need these reps.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him get down and run routes and play catch with Tom Brady down the other end of the field where nobody else can go. That's what you do with those guys because you know they're going to be ready. You know, do they need to take?
Well, and I haven't heard anything on Edelman either. I haven't heard anything on how he's doing. He was hurt last week, so that's Edelman and Gronk. There's your two, two of your big three.
You know, but again, you don't especially. No, and again, like high school rules have changed. The high school rules have changed based on what the pros have. The pros have gone to one day. You can't do two days. You got to have more days than just shirts and shorts and helmets. You know, you can't go beating it to death like you used to. And part of that probably is the fact that, and for a lot of these guys, they're in condition year round. Where in years past, these guys didn't make enough money. They had to go get other jobs. You know, they would train on their own when they could get to the YMCA. You know, the teams didn't have facilities like they have now. Most of them, you know, went home to other parts of the country. A lot of the guys stay local so they can work out at Foxborough. A lot of them live in the area. So,
well, we'll see how that's going to play out. It's going to be fun this year anyway, no matter what. It's going to be a fun year. And they just got to keep their head above water for a while and go from there.
You know, when Revenge Tour 2 starts, and I think Garoppolo's showing the other night was okay. I think he thought too much and overthought a lot of his passes, and so he grounded
them. That kid Mitchell looked good before he hurt his arm, didn't he?
Oh, did you see the... Oh,
so oh no, I don't want to... Don't even want to talk about it.
As soon as he went down, I said, dislocated elbow.
Yeah.
They said shoulder, and I said no, dislocated elbow, and then it showed the replay.
Well, as long as it's...
Went, oh.
I know, but I,
but
I guess...
But he was on the practice field today,
I guess
uniform, with a brace on his elbow. He didn't participate in any contact drills, but
he looked good, though. Boy,
oh,
he looked good.
He can go get it.
Yeah.
That's
got
the
that.
Pick.
He looks like a tough kid, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, and just an unfortunate placement of the arm, you know, that... The thing wobbled.
I actually broke my forearm like that when I was a kid playing baseball. It was a very similar fall. And it snapped
the
forearm.
Where were you falling from?
Not far.
Did you get tackled?
Nope. I was sliding, and it was a wet field, and I just lost my balance and just landed wrong. And there you go, snap, and it doesn't...
It's all it takes.
Not a very pleasant sound, either.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's like when I had a... When I fractured, dislocated, and tore the ligaments in my right ankle. Just playing pickup football. Right after I came back from basketball camp.
Okay.
Yeah, that was ugly.
All right, we'll probably be back in 2 weeks. I'm not sure we're going to do Monday because it is a vacation week, and I need to dedicate some time to the domestic situation.
Yeah, well, my buddy and I, it's my birthday, that next Monday, and my buddy and I will be, my wife and I will be going up to New Hampshire, and he and I are taking off for our annual summer all day, 400 to 500 mile ride.
Cool.
So
cool. All right. Okay. That'll do it. Thanks.
Hey, as always.
You got your headset squared away and everything is all good. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was going to operate in a different area,
okay.
in a different way. But
okay. First day of.
I'm really glad I learned it was that the volume was not for the mic but for the the headphones.
Glad we figured that out.
Oh, you're telling me.
All right, that's Tim Kearns. The voice of North Shore is Bill Newell. Check out the news on the website that we've got up there every single day. And, of course, our sports live, all kinds of stuff. The football schedule is up there. Check it out. It's a tab up at the top of the page or on your drop-down menu on your devices. That's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore, producer and engineer Bill Proposky. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.